Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another of these segments where we take our monthly column, Smiley's Picks, from the Lovell magazine and go out on the air. My guests this morning are David Roth, who is the general director of Kentucky Opera, and Joe Makovich, who's the music director. David, there is a rumour going around that you plan to end the current season of the opera company in the black. At a time when most other arts organisations are either in Chapter 11 or tottering towards it, what is the secret of your success?
Well, we've had some good fortune over the last 2 to 3 years. Part of our success goes back to 2007 when we started our strategic planning process to find a new path, a new vision for the company. And with the success of that, we launched it in 2007, 2008. And of course, as you know, the economy and the world economy collapsed in 2008, late 2009. But because we had this vision in place, we were able to accelerate what we wanted to do. Instead of a 5-year plan, we looked at accelerating it to 2 years. We took some hits because of it, but starting in 2009 with this new path, we have generated great success with the company, both artistically and financially. And this now will be the second year in a row that we'll be ending the year with a small surplus.
Can you define that path for us?
Yeah, very much. We started with the idea that we had to create a company that is connected to the local community, that serves the local community, and we needed to find an artistic path or artistic vision that really defines that connection to the community. And that began with the move to the Brown Theater, moving to this intimate and elegant space of the newly renovated Brown Theater, which really captured the attention of our audience once they experienced that piece of theater and music that we were creating in the theater, that they connected to our artist on stage in a very unique way. And what we're calling now this unique experience we're creating with Kentucky Opera is a direct connection of our audience to those artists that we bring here to Louisville. That's a connection that we couldn't achieve in the larger space.
In a bigger theater. There is an extraordinary intimacy about the Brown Theatre, and the only other place regionally where I can think of how similar kind of up-close and personal feel is at the Opera Theatre of St. Louis, where, you're very close to the singers.
Absolutely.
That's so important, I think. I mean, it's all about communication, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Well, I congratulate you on your success, and I'd like to take this opportunity, since you and Joe are in the studio, of asking you about next season. What have we got, and what can we look forward to?
Well, we have a great season, and I'll let Joe just talk individually about the shows, but we are kicking off our season, the Brown-Forman 2011-12 season, with a wonderful production of Carmen, a great cast coming up for it. And then we're doing something different. We are expanding beyond the fall, which we have been doing for the last 3 seasons. We're moving into November with our second show of Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro, which will inaugurate a 4-year cycle of Mozart operas here at the Brown Theater. And then we close the season in February with Lear's beautiful operetta, The Merry Widow. So, Joe, if you'll talk just a little bit about some of the cast members coming in and those 3 shows, which are basically standard repertory, but a couple of the shows have not been seen for a number of years.
Joe, you're conducting the Carmen.
Yes, I am. I'm conducting all 3 of them. And, you know, going with David just said about this wonderful, intimate jewel box that we have here in Louisville, the Brown Theater, it's so fun to cast these shows because we have the fortunate opportunity to not go over just beautiful voices, but amazing actors. And we get to hire singer actors. And from our productions from the past, that definitely radiates to the audience.
Sure does.
For the role of Carmen, it's this wonderful American who lives over in Europe, and she has much success in this role. Her name is Tara Venditti. Don José is a dear friend of mine. He's Scott Piper. I've done many shows with him, and he's done this role all over the world as well. Well, recently in Israel, and just such a joyful and wonderful colleague to work with, and someone who's really committed to the text. The Marriage of Figaro, singing the role of Figaro, is this gentleman named Carlos Monzon, who David and I fell in love with when we heard his audition a couple years ago, and is such joy on stage. Returning to sing the Countess is our butterfly of last season, Miss Yuna Lee.
She was extraordinary.
She did, and she captured everyone's heart, and now she gets to do it again in the role of the Countess. In The Merry Widow, We have singing the role of Hannah, Miss Emily Pulley, who was here with Dialogues of the Carmelites, I think. A wonderful singer actor as well. And Danny Lowe is Mr. Christopher Feigham.
Who was here last with Marcello in La Boheme.
All right. David, why have you gone over to February? I mean, I thought part of your strategic plan was to keep the whole thing condensed into the fall season with obvious economies of, you know, bringing people in and keeping them here for three months.
Correct, and it worked very well for us for, as I said, 3 to 4 seasons. But we ran into a slight problem, and that is some of our success that we were having with other programming. Two programs in particular that have fallen in this October month. One, our outreach concerts beginning 2 seasons ago in Owensboro. Great success, and you were instrumental in helping us with that program, directing the production first of Butterfly and then last season the Barbara Seville. And because of that success, they have made a long-term commitment for us to bring our studio artists to Owensboro, which now expands to Bowling Green and Lafayette, Indiana. And that takes up a lot of time, and with the limited resources we have on staff, we needed to find some additional time for our main stage productions. And as well, our composer workshop, which has been a great success for us, our partnership with the University of Louisville School of Music and the Academy of Music at St. Francis in the Field, that success is generating now an expanded program where we are bringing back Ben Moore to do his piece, Enemies a Love Story, in full concert on October 5th with the University of Louisville School of Music's orchestra and Kim Sheree Lloyd conducting. And we received a special grant from Opera of America to do that program. So we're very excited about that because of those two programs, we needed to find more time at the Brown Theater.
I want to take up something which Joe said. We live in a completely different age, I think, an age of opera from 10 years ago. And the most striking difference, I think, is that the public is no longer interested in seeing huge fat ladies or equally stout gentlemen careening across the stage. There's a new breed of singer. I mean, if I only mention Emily Albrink, it's just as an example of the breed, who sing at least as well as their predecessors, but look wonderful, and in her case, act marvelously. It's a different world, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It goes to what we were looking at, you know, 20, 30 years ago in musical theater. We were looking at the singer-actor or the triple threat, you know, someone who looked the role, someone who could act the role, someone who could sing the role. And with the universities and the conservatories kicking out more and more singers, we have a supply of singers right now that it makes it so wonderful to cast these operas. In an intimate space like the Brown Theater, it affords us this excellent opportunity, as Joe said, for us to connect to those singers and bring in great singer actors in these roles.
There was a great singer who has to be nameless, obviously, but who was the chosen Isolde of Seattle and the Met, who I understand is not actually working now in the business because of her
weight.
Yep.
Similarly, Deborah Voigt, whom we're all looking forward to seeing her lift the roof in Die Walküre, is somebody who's now slimmer, more attractive, and has fit into this new mold. These are all operas. Well, the first two, anyway, Carmen and The Marriage of Figaro, are both lengthy works. What's your view on cutting, David? I mean, do you feel that it's right to try and get it down in under 3 hours? And
I am not opposed to cutting. I think in very rare instances, you have a piece that has been judiciously composed by the composer, and artistically, can you look at that and says you can say it is a complete work. But many of these other pieces have evolved over time, and very rare is the case, whether it's Mozart or Bizet or even, you know, for that matter, Wagner, that you can look at a piece and say, you know, this is not exactly what they did at this time, or there are different versions out there. Let's find the composition, let's find the cuts that work for us and our audience.
It
isn't necessary
at this time
to,
in history.
To academically do the complete works. I don't know your feeling on that, Joe.
No, I completely agree with you because, you know, when you look back at the letters of Mozart, let's look at The Marriage of Figaro, he was very much in favor of changing things depending on the cast, depending on where he was presenting it. So when we look at a piece here at Kentucky Opera, we take those same sensibilities in telling an honest story and creating a piece of theater that our audience will enjoy.
Absolutely, because in addition to being in the communication business, you're also in the entertainment business. Absolutely. Above all. Yeah. Thank you both very much indeed.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Joe Mankiewicz, Music Director of Kentucky Opera, and David Roth, General Director.
Thank you, Thompson.